Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Job. Job chapter 2. This is God's word. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied, "a man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We said in chapter 1, you don't know what's going on, but God does. There are things that happen beyond our view, beyond our understanding. And that was certainly the case in the life of Job. Job thought he had everything going beautifully. And he was very attentive to detail so that when his children would celebrate and have parties, he would go and make sure after the fact that sacrifices were offered on their behalf, because he wanted to be sure to dot every I and cross every T and keep things as they should be. He was a man who followed up and followed through. He paid attention to detail and he didn't let stuff just get by him. But there was a whole lot going on that he didn't know about. And when you and I are experiencing difficulty, we need to realize that we may see this part of the picture and this part of the picture and this part of the picture and think, okay, well, I can connect the dots. But that doesn't mean we're getting it right. We need to understand that there are things beyond our knowledge, things that are beyond our ability to recognize and see. And if we don't do that, if we fail to do that, we're simply displaying the worst sort of ignorance. As someone said a long time ago, ignorance is not so much what you don't know as what you know that ain't so. The worst kind of ignorance is when you think you've got it all figured out and you're just flat wrong. And that, beloved, is a widespread problem. Be careful. The cure for that is humility. To realize, well, this is the way it looks to me, but I could be mistaken. So, the point we looked at last time, I'm going to say it again, don't want you to forget it. You don't know what's going on, but God does. God does. The point this morning, if you want to say, okay, what's my main point this morning? Chapter 2. You can't control what happens to you, but you can decide how you will respond. You can't control what happens to you, but you can decide how you will respond. Now, that is true in chapter 1 also, but in chapter 2, it's brought into even sharper focus because in chapter 2, the difficulties that Job has experienced become even worse. It's an even bigger problem. So, what's going on? Once again, unseen by Job, unheard by Job, unknown by Job, the angels come and present themselves before the Lord. And when they do so, Satan, again, responds to God pointing at Job by saying, I know how to break him. I know what it'll take. Just let me at him. I can finish him off. If he loses his health, that'll be the end of his faith. Folks, let me ask you, what would it take for you to lose your faith? What would have to happen in order for you to say, okay, that's it, I'm sorry. I cannot believe in a God who would let something like this happen to me or to someone I care about. What would it take? Satan thought he knew with Job, and what he suggested is that this is true of almost everybody. If they lose their health, in the last 6 months, I've heard countless people say the old tired saw, well, as long as you have your health. Well, you know, if you have your health, you have everything. Let me tell you something. What if you don't have your health? What if you have a child with Down syndrome? What if you have a child with cerebral palsy? What if you have a child with some other grave, serious problem? What then? Is that life not worth living? Job was pointed out by God as an extraordinary individual. If I were over in the sidebar, I'd say, don't mention him. Look what happened last time. You know, don't bring this up. But the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Please look at that phrase from God's lips. Without any reason. I don't think God ought to talk that way. It could lead people to the wrong kind of theological assumptions. I think God can say whatever he pleases. He's God. And we're the ones who need to get a grip. We need to start believing everything God says. And God says, this happened without any reason.
Well, no, I think everything has a reason. It's all, you know, we may not understand the reason, but everything has a reason.
Well, God can talk this way if he wants to. And we ought not to try and correct him. Amen? But what do? We try to find the reason. We try to figure it out. Because we refuse to believe point number one, which was, we don't know what's going on. It makes us very nervous if we don't know what's going on. Don't you get uncomfortable if you're in a situation and, you know, something's happening, and I can tell something's happening, but I don't know what's going on. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? Sure it does. That's a normal human response. So what do? We try and make sense of it. We try and figure it out. Let me just tell you. You don't know what's going on. God does. You can't control what's happening to you. Now there are some things you can control. But things happen to us that we didn't see coming. My wife and I went skiing in Canada a number of years ago. The Canadian Rockies, by the way, are absolutely beautiful. And for our listeners in Canada, we love your country. But we were really, it was going to be a great day. It was a beautiful place. It was a nice resort. We'd already paid for lift tickets and equipment rental and everything else. And we got onto the lift and went up the mountain. It was one of those things where basically, I guess you'd say a T-bar, and you sit on the thing and you go up there. And when we got up, I started to ski away and expected my wife to be with me, but the guys behind us, instead of letting their seat retract, got off and kind of threw it to the side. And it's on a retracting elastic, you might say, cord that takes it back up so it's not dragging along. When this guy threw it out to the side, it swung around, and at a high rate of speed, this bar hit my wife in the back of the head, knocked her on her face in the snow. And I mean, it was a serious blow to the back of the head. So I'm, you know, kind of like, Suze? Suze? And she's back there in the snow. I had to turn around and go back, help her up. And let me just tell you, we didn't ski that day. Or the next. That ended our skiing on the first day. Why? Well, because she didn't duck. How could she know to duck? The thing hit her from behind. A metal bar traveling at a high rate of speed comes and hits her in the back of the head. That was not her fault. She had nothing to do with that except being the recipient of somebody else's thoughtlessness. They skied on off. You and I, if we live long enough, will all experience painful things that are not the result of our doing something wrong. Well, what could I have done to prevent that? Don't go skiing. Call off the Canada trip. I mean, you know, is there a way I could have missed this? Yeah, but you would have just gotten something else maybe. We can't control the fact that things are going to happen to us. But you can decide how you're going to respond.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Job had this horrible series of events, and he responded in chapter 1 by worshiping God. And so then, God saw that and let it get worse. What did you just say? I said, God saw how he responded and let it get worse. Well, that hardly seems fair. Well, it didn't really seem very fair to Job. Job didn't get it at all. And most of the rest of the book is going to be Job and his friends talking about the fact that Job doesn't get it. Job keeps saying, I don't understand what's happening. And his friends try and explain it to him. And let me tell you, they say a lot of great stuff that is frequently quoted by Christians. Some of our favorite verses are things that Job's friends said. I mean, they thought they had it figured out. They could look at what was going on and they could see the obvious conclusion. It's clear here what's happening. Job is messed up. Job's got some secret sin. This is a result of something. Karma is real. You know, there's got to be something that he did that caused this. This is just what goes around comes around. You know, I mean, we've all seen it. Even the Bible says, don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So, if Job's going through this kind of problem, it's clear he's done some bad, bad stuff. Otherwise, this wouldn't happen to him. Now, one of the reasons they wanted to say that, and we're going to look at it, God willing, in the days to come, one of the reasons they wanted to say that was because they thought they had to defend God. It's like, you know, well, do not think for a moment that God would ever do anything that isn't fair. So, does that mean none of us are going to heaven? Because it's not fair that we should sin and deserve hell and get to go to heaven. So you want fair? Sometimes I want fair, but I also need mercy. Can I get mercy? Can I get fair and mercy? Can we combine those? You better let God figure that out. Okay? Let me tell you something. You do not want God to just be fair. You want God to show mercy. So what happens with Job? Job gets sores all over his body. Sores, wounds, festering wounds from head to toe. He can't walk without walking on wounds. He can't sit without sitting on wounds. He can't lie down without lying on wounds. His whole body is festering wounds. Next time you've got a health problem, you think of Job and say, thank you, Lord, that I don't have Job's problems. Next time, by the way, that one of your kids is still alive, you thank God that you don't have Job's problems because he lost all of his. The next time your wife says something unkind to you, you thank God that you're not married to Job's wife because she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Thanks, babe. Job is in physical torment, and it's constant. It's constant. There's no relief. He's going to talk about it in the chapters that follow. Chapter 7 is one of the ones where he gives something of a description. Let me just tell you something. After suffering for hours and hours and hours and hours in the day, scraping his wounds with broken pottery shards, after suffering for hours in the day, he thinks, maybe I can get some relief in my sleep. And when he tries to sleep, he has horrible nightmares. Horrible nightmares, night after night, so that he dreads going to sleep. And when he wakes up, the nightmare isn't over. There's no relief, 24/7. Now, I don't think 5 minutes of that would be tolerable. But this was Job's new life. He's lost everything except a wife who might be nice to lose. And he's in physical torment and emotional torment. And there's no relief in sight. You can't control everything that happens to you. But you can decide how you're going to respond. And the way Job responded was he continued to worship. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Notice Job didn't say, well, I don't know what's going on, but I know that God doesn't have anything to do with this. It must be outside his control. That's Rabbi Kushner's version. And I know people who claim to be Christians who basically believe the same thing. That God would like to help, but, you know, he's limited. We have to cut God some slack. We have to cut him some slack because it's just, you know, it's... he can only do so much. Do you know God? What do you mean, if you can? Do you remember the father who brought his demonized child to Jesus? Jesus starts asking him questions, which I think are wholly inappropriate. He should have just gone ahead and healed him immediately. I'm being sarcastic. But if it was my son, I would want him healed immediately. But Jesus instead starts talking with the father about the boy's history, which makes it clear this was not a new problem. But he'd only now gotten around to saying, okay, let's give Jesus a try. And so Jesus is asking questions. And in the midst of it, the boy is having a horrible, horrible seizure. And the father says, if you can do anything, please help us. And Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Don't think for a minute that God can't solve your problem. But you may have a bigger problem. And this problem is helping bring you to God. Did you hear me? Don't think for a minute that God can't solve your problem. But you may have a bigger problem. And this problem is helping to bring you to God. Paul and Silas are in a Philippian jail cell. They're in the innermost cell. They've been beaten. Their backs are open wounds. They've got their hands and wrists fastened in stocks and their ankles fastened in stocks. They can't move. It's miserable. It's midnight. They can't sleep. They're in horrible pain. They've been treated unjustly. And so they decide to just worship the Lord, kind of like Job did. They're going to just worship God. Because after all, Silas, things can't get any worse. Unless you have an earthquake. Oh, but that led to their freedom. Yeah, but they didn't know that. When the earthquake came, they had no warning. Picture yourself like this, and the room starts to shake, and the walls and ceiling start to collapse, and you're in the innermost cell. Would you say, oh, good? Or would you say, oh, no? Because in the midst of what was going on, it looked like disaster. But go back to point number one. You don't know what's going on.
but God does. You can't control all the things that happen to you, but you can decide how you're going to respond. And the way to respond is to worship Him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.